Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, there are so many stories concerning our Lord Jesus. He went everywhere. It'd be interesting to try and trace his footsteps through Israel as he crisscrossed the nation from Jerusalem to Galilee, from Tyre and Sidon all the way to the Decapolis on the far side, eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. How many miles did he walk? It'd be interesting to trace that. His movements in the last 3.5 years of his life, during the time of his ministry, he was constantly on the move. So we think of him this morning, and we'll see that he is on his travels this morning. In Luke chapter 7, and a story here of Jesus who heals a deaf mute in verse 31 of Mark chapter 7. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Again, let's just approach the throne of grace that he might have the Spirit enlighten our hearts and minds this morning over the scripture we have read. Our Father, we thank you for your word. This recorded by Mark, a glimpse into an episode in the life of this poor man where he met Jesus and how he released him from his prison. And Father, we pray today that our eyes might be open to see that indeed he has done all things well. And so, Father, we would ask that by your Holy Spirit you would teach us this morning as we follow our Lord Jesus, as though we are one of the spectators there and by his side. And so, Father, we ask your blessing upon us then in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, this is an episode in the life of the Lord Jesus, his many travels to preach and to heal. And years before, 700 years before, Isaiah the prophet prophesied, and Luke records our Lord Jesus reading this portion from Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and verse 19. It says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There, twice in that portion recorded from Isaiah, is that he would proclaim liberty. Twice over, twice it's mentioned, liberty to the captives and liberty to those who are oppressed. This story follows the story of the woman who's from Tyre, Sidon, the widow of Sidon, and she comes to the Lord Jesus, begs to the only one who could help her daughter, who is oppressed by an unclean spirit, and she cries out to him, "Lord, help me." And her faith is rewarded. But then from Tyre and Sidon, which is in the extreme northwest portion of Israel, he now crosses over through Galilee, the northern part of Israel, and then to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. He skirts around the northern border of the Sea of Galilee and down into the region of Decapolis. And it was there, you remember in a further story, that he had healed the demoniac there. They had crossed the lake by a boat, and that men met him, the man who's demon-possessed with a legion of spirits, and the Lord had cast out those spirits. And at that time, in Mark chapter 15 and verse, or Mark chapter 5 and verse 17, they began to plead with him to depart from their region, to leave us. Don't stay in Decapolis. They were afraid of the power that they had witnessed, even though one of their own had been set free from the clutches of the devil himself. But it was grace that brought him back again. And all those miles across the northern part of Israel and down again to that place where the demoniac lived, he comes this time to a different reception. They had considered what he had done, and they had considered their own condition. And now they welcome him back. We read there that in verse 32, and this story is only recorded by Mark himself. Even though the shortest of Gospels, he sometimes brings stories in that the others pass by. And so he comes now in verse 32 back to Mark chapter 7, as they brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. There's some interested friends then that took this man who was deaf and had this severe speech impediment. Two things then were wrong with him. They supported them to make this man completely isolated from from the society around him. Now speech, a human speech is what separates us from all the other of creation. It defines us, what we are as humans, because it's through speech that we are able to express what we are, our personalities. If you are unable to express yourself, your personality becomes locked up within yourself. And it's a manifestation of our very spirits. Without hearing or speech, man's spirit then is locked up within himself, is unable to receive communication from others, nor is he able to communicate to others. So there's a sense in which a person that like that is imprisoned in themselves. An illustration of this is found in the Old Testament, where David, who was probably one of the greater poets and singers and communicators in the Old Testament, and he glorified the Lord with his tongue. Now turn to a couple of Psalms, for example, Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 12. Verse 11, Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Well, how would he be able to express this? This change that had taken place because of the Lord, what the Lord had done for him. He says in verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. His tongue was his glorifier. He glorified God through his tongue, through being able to express himself. And, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. His glory was, as he understood it very clearly, his glory was that he could express praise and adoration to God himself. Then just one more verse. There's other verses that are mentioned too in the scriptures that David calls his ability to express himself through his tongue as his glorifiers. Psalm 57 and verse 8. verse 7. He says, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn with his praise. Awake my glory. Awake my tongue. So there he could play the instrument and his tongue was loosed to praise the Lord. So is his glorifier. So that's the glory of man, really, is his ability to praise the Lord intelligently through speech, to speak to the Lord. Now remember, this man, we read back in Mark chapter 7, it doesn't say that this deafness and impediment of his speech was congenital. Oftentimes we'll say that the man was either born blind or he was born deformed in some way. It doesn't say it was from birth, but it sounds like it was something vital that he had that he lost, which is a tragedy, because he could remember how he was able to express himself and the frustration of not being able anymore to express himself nor to understand what is being said to him. And so it takes us back really to the Garden of Eden. Some disease, something happened in his life. And of course, we can trace the problem all the way back to the Garden of Eden itself. It was there that, in through the disobedience of one man, sin came into the world and disease and death came as a result. And all disease and so on can be traced back to that one action that was taken. And what was the result in Adam and Eve's life? Immediately, communication was broken with God. They became isolated because they themselves now were shut up in their little prison. They were not able anymore to communicate with God. Their personalities now turned inward, and they had no means by which they could express themselves in the way that they were created for. It was a tragedy that happened there. They lost their communication with God. Now they were in isolation, and the result was fear. They heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden. Yes, they heard the physical voice, but what was lost was not the physical hearing, but the hearing of the soul. And they were, now they heard that voice, and they no longer were able to understand the communication. The love of God now was blanked out for them, shut out for them, and they in their isolation hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And so it is passed to all of us. Mankind is born just like this deaf man and impediment, unable to get communications from God to his spirit, unable to express himself in a way that would glorify God. In other words, man then has lost the main reason for which he had been created. And now that's the condition that you or I were born in, into this world. But the Redeemer has come. It's been a long journey from Tyre and Sidon. You look on a map, down to the region of Gadara. A long ways he came to put his hands in the ears and to spit upon the tongue and touch the tongue of this man and to bring liberty to him. And we think of the distance which our Lord Jesus took in order for him to come into this world. He had to leave heaven itself. He had to leave eternity. He had to leave the hosts of angels and there be born in a simple manger far from heaven. There in Bethlehem, he became a child that would grow to become the man of Galilee, the savior of sinners, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then to go to the cross of Calvary and there to lay down his life as a sin bearer, as a substitute, to stand in the place of those who could not stand there, you and I. And he took our burdens. He carried our sorrows. But he also carried them to the cross. And there he paid the ultimate price of death, which was the sentence on us all. Rising from the dead, though, he can proclaim liberty to the captives. And so they ask him to put his hands on him. Why did they ask that? Some places where he went, they said, Lord, just speak the word. We know their faith wasn't maybe to that level. But our Lord always accommodated the faith, whatever faith it was, however great it was, however little it was. He commended great faith, but he always responded to any kind of faith. The faith, it isn't the amount of faith that saves. It's faith in the one himself, our Lord Jesus. And they came to him and brought this man to him. And what he does may seem kind of strange. He first took him aside. At this point, he had been rejected by the chief priests and the scribes in Jerusalem. They'd made their decision by this time. And he no longer began to preach the gospel of the kingdom openly. But rather now he began to teach and to his own disciples and to speak to the individuals. And so he took this man aside. He would never pass by anyone who had a need of healing. In his compassion and in his grace, he always brought healing to those that needed it and comfort to those who needed it as well. And so he uses what this, he uses sign language. I don't know whether they had sign language back then, but putting his fingers in his ears and touching his tongue is sign language. The man would understand that this healing had come directly from this man that stood before him, that his friends had brought him to. So that was the reason that he put his fingers in the ear and touched his tongue. Sign language, symbolic of the fact that he was the one who had come to save him. And then we read that he looked up to heaven. Looking up to heaven. It was the works of the Father. He didn't come and heal himself. All the healing and all the words that he spoke were his Father's. We as Christians, in our witness, we don't witness about ourselves. We tell the world what great things he has done for us, not what we have done. We owe everything to the Lord. The Lord looks up to his Father, and that his Father may get recognition that what he is about to do is that the Father has done this. So we read, he looks up to heaven and sighed. That there's a volume of meaning in this one word. He groaned or sighed. It was a groaning out of his own spirit, showing in real demonstration. Now the deaf man would not have heard that. His friends would. They heard that groan, a groan of compassion. Yes. Sympathy with, but also a groaning of sorrow of what sin had done to the human race. He would groan over the wreck, you might say, of what sin and Satan has done to the human race. He has borne our sorrows. He's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows in that mysterious way. He made them his own. It wasn't as though he came to this man, or this man was brought to him, and he knew what he was going to do. Same as when he was at Lazarus's tomb. He groaned in his spirit when Martha came and Mary came to him. Groaned in his spirit. Because he groaned over that wreck that Satan and sin had afflicted the human race by. He knows our sorrows. He's carried them in some mysterious way. He made them his very own. And from his spirit, from his very heart, came this groaning or sigh. And it wasn't over their lack of faith. It was over the suffering that they had to endure. He says, Ephatha, be opened. The idea here is not just that his ears would be opened, but a whole person now would be opened up. He'd be let out of a prison. It was as though he was putting a key into the lock and swinging open the gates and going to the shackles and putting a key in, unlocking the shackles and opening the door to the sunlight so this man could walk out of his prison. Those chains that Satan had bound him by were now loosed. What do we read? The impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. I wonder what he said. I don't know, but I'm sure the very first thing he would say is, thank you so much. Thank you. And perhaps you wouldn't be able to shut the man up. As a matter of fact, later on, we find out that you couldn't shut him off. When we're freed, a free man is going to enjoy his freedom. His spirit was finally free. Then we read in verse 36, he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed him. No doubt led by this man who had been recently freed. It was disobedience, but it was as though they couldn't help themselves. What he has done for me he's opened my whole heart and understanding. I'm now freed as a bird is freed from his cage to fly into the heavens, to stretch its wings, to soar into the sunlight and to feel the currents of air again, to be a bird again. That's what his spirit experienced. But why did he limit them, or want to limit them and not to tell them? Well, mentioned earlier, his purpose was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's why he came to begin with. But the rejected now, he had told the nation, the national leaders, when they asked, show us a sign. He said, there won't be any other sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah, which was that he would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, which was at the cross when he died and was buried, and 3 days until his resurrection. There would be no more signs. Those healings that were given to the healing that was given to this man, this deaf man, was really a sign. But Israel had passed the point where signs would make a difference. They had rejected him, but he would never refuse the individual. This wasn't a sign to Israel anymore. This was a healing to an individual. And so there were no more signs. But out of compassion, he would continue to his healing ministry and his teaching ministry as he's made his way now to the cross for the main reason that he had come and been sent by the Father to die upon the cross. Verse 37, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. What a difference from the first time that he came, when they were frightened by this power. Now they realize their view of him had completely changed. From something that was mysterious and foreign to them, now they had accepted who he was as a person. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Yet, yes, it is true. He had done all things well. He had come, as it were, to put the universe to its right place. In the first creation, we read that after the sixth day, God rested. But he saw that everything was good. All that he had made, it was very good. But after sin came in, It was not good. His creation was ruined, and so he had to come as the Redeemer to redeem the earth. And so Christ's work here in Decapolis, putting his finger in the ear of the deaf, touching his tongue that he might be able to speak, is really a preview of the new creation. When there will be no more disease, no more sorrow, death will be destroyed. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire, and the heavens and the earth will break free into the eternal liberty of the sons of God when we are manifested there, when the final release will take place, and God will be all in all. It was just a preview on the east side of Galilee, where a man's spirit was set free. So in the future, the whole universe is going to be set free from bondage into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And we will be leading that parade into heaven with our voices, our glorifiers, glorifying God forever and forever. May the Lord encourage us in our witness for him. He was disobedient where he was to minister, that man. He did have a ministry. May the Lord help us in ours for his name's sake. Our Father, we thank you again for your great grace to us, for the story, Lord, as we have come alongside our Lord Jesus and been witnesses of what he has done. He has done all things well. And there, dying upon the cross, he has forever satisfied your justice that we might be righteousness, the righteousness of your righteousness in him. And so if we give you thanks today, Father, in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.